Sorry, I'll leave it going. It wasn't intentional. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Yeah. If you have the number, maybe you can read
it. Oh, okay. Oh, okay, sorry. Okay. So, yep, so there's nothing received or no issues received from any of the rocks, unless anybody wants to raise anything now. Okay, so the release news, G-Lite 3-1. Pre-production service update 18 was released on Wednesday of last week. It passed the pre-deployment test and is currently being deployed into the rest of the pre-production service. And it contains 64-bit version of the DPM. It contains dcache installation with Yum, BDI version 391-5, there's an update to the AIM core, and it also includes support for SunGrid Engine CE. And just to note, as there is an update to the AIM core, all meta packages are reported as affected by this update. There's a link there on the URL on the agenda page. If people go there, you can see the details.
Just to add something to that, the update to AIM core was due to a bug fix for something that is being released in production in the next days. So this particular patch will be moved to production earlier. As Nick said, this affects namely all meta packages, but in fact, the meta packages to be concerned of are only those affected by the G-Lite Info Provider LDAP, which is the update which is going to production tomorrow or in 2 days. So, again, all services look like being updated. This is not entirely true, so please read the release notes to be sure.
Okay, thanks, Antonio. So, I guess moving on to the G-Lite release news for this week.
Yeah, this week, as I said, we have an update 14 in preparation for production, and it will contain... So the big change is the YAM module configured LCGCE with support for MPI. This is done according to the guidelines coming from the TCG. Then we have an improvement on the Logos Grid FTP script and bug fixes from, a better support to split the CEs with the box server given by the new Torqutils package. A new version of the CGUT 168 fixing one bug of the CE mentioned last week by that. And then, the new version of the G-Lite Info Provider for CE and the corresponding patch on YAM core.
Okay, thanks, Antonio. So we've got just had to go over see, which is a bit distant on the phone. We've got Oliver here from SA3. The first item he's talking on is the 64-bit, an update on 64-bit.
Okay, so this was I put two slides up on the worker node. The status on general on other services is that we have LFC released for 64-bit and DPM has been certified in PCS for 64-bit. Next up will be the worker node. So we have just certified the 64-bit worker node. There are a couple of things worth mentioning. One of our primary objectives was to make sure that 32-bit support was in there as well. A number of the experiments, notably Atlas, you're nodding as well, want to make sure that they can run their 32-bit jobs, because in the 64-bit world, their memory requirements are almost doubled. So this has presented us with extra challenges to try and get parallel installation of 32-bit and 64-bit libraries. which is why it has taken longer than we hoped. So, two issues then on that subject is the first, that your standard meta package, Glite WN, cannot identify the architecture of the packages it depends on. So it cannot say, I need a 64 and a 32-bit version of GPL, unfortunately. So the solution that we're using is the group install, which may be familiar to some of you. It's another part of Yum. Instead of saying Yum install Glite worker node, it would be Yum group install Glite worker node, and this allows us to get our parallel install of various packages. The other thing is, at the moment, in some cases, there are RPMs which have both executables and libraries. So we try to install them in parallel. So this is possible, but sometimes you get 64-bit executables and sometimes you get 32-bit executables. In principle, this doesn't matter because they both work. But it's an uncomfortable situation, and it means that certification is in a difficult position, because if we install them one way and certify them, maybe we get the 32-bit executables. Someone else installs in a very different way, perhaps Quator, they might get the 64-bit ones. So with that in mind, we're still going to release it to PPS to help expose any other problems, but probably it's not ready for production until that particular issue is understood better. So that's the middleware status, let's say. There is one other issue, which my second slide is about, which is much more operational, and it's the following. If you look in the information system now and you see that a subcluster it has installed 64-bit Linux, right now you know that they have installed 32-bit middleware because there's nothing else available. But if we release the 64-bit worker node, you will no longer know whether they have 32-bit middleware or 64-bit middleware installed. So we need a convention to advertise this. There are various options. One would be we change the version of the worker node, advertise a different version, and then people know that, let's say, from version 3.2, on 64-bit operating systems, you should have 64-bit middleware. The alternative is simply that we ask sites to tag their in their software runtime environment, tag to append an architecture string. So it would be Glite 3.1 underscore i386 or something like this. I don't know if I should leave that with you for discussion and then we come back next week, or if there are any immediate thoughts on this.
So yeah, just my understanding then. This is a mesh of the information system, and out of many fields, I also display the architecture. Yeah. So as people can see, 101 is 32-bit, while C16 is 64-bit.
Yeah.
This means that we are running, they are running the same device that was say, just one. But then the architectures,
it's the operating system, essentially. In fact, it's exactly this. So let's say in 3 months' time, when the 64-bit worker node is released, found a cluster there whose operating system is 64-bit. You don't know for sure whether they've installed 32-bit middleware, which would run, or whether they've installed the 64-bit middleware. And if you have a 64-bit application, you need to tell the difference. If you have a 32-bit application, you don't need to tell the difference. Both will work.
This should be up to five.
I think we'll take this all the way to by next week, maybe. That's okay for you or if you want.
See, but for me, this is fine. And Steve and I are discussing anyway. So this is
okay.
Early for any other feedback.
Okay. Okay, so I guess if there's any strong feedback or feelings from any of the ROMs or whomever, send them in. Yes, from the viewers as well.
This has been mentioned in Architects Forum, for instance. This
okay.
Communicated to the VOs as well.
Okay, so if anybody has got something like the input system, right, when to send it? Get them sent. Send it to myself and Maita and Steve, between three of us, and collect everything in. From anything for. Okay. Okay.
I'll put it in the minutes.
Yes, exactly. Good idea. We'll put it in the minutes where to send the feedback from people. So look in the minutes, and then if you have feedback, please send it to play. Okay. So I guess on to the next.
I think it's still me. So this is an issue mainly from the Yane side. We know that people install various combinations of services on the same side. And with multi-core machines with large amounts of memory, this is going to continue. So we want to know if there are any combinations of services are popular and known to be broken as far as the configuration is concerned. One example would be the Monbox with SE, a DPM storage element. The fix here, for example, is to configure the Monbox to listen on a different port, and then the conflict is resolved. So this we intend to do, but we want to know if there are any other combinations which are important and currently do not work.
Okay, so do we have any of the sites, ROCs, anybody else on the line that knows of combinations of nodes that they would like to be able to install on a single, combinations of services that they would like to be able to install on a single node but can't?
Hello, this is Ron Trombert from SARA.
Hi.
We have rolled out several clusters in the Netherlands, and there the user interface is combined with a DPM storage element. And that causes problems because the conflict in the RFIO versions that's installed on the user interface and on the DPM.
The UI should no longer have a dependency on RFIO. This should have, in quotes, should have been fixed. Are you sure your UI still has a dependency on RFIO? Maybe the dependency has vanished, but the RPM is still there.
Okay, well, I need to check that. But thanks for the information.
There's one more piece of information which may interest you, is that DPM 1610 will have a combined RFIO.
Okay, thanks.
Finally.
Okay, so thanks, Ron. So if you could try that out and let us know if it works, maybe next week or in the meantime. Anybody else with any conflicts that they know of between services on a single node?
Nick, this is Sven speaking for DECH. There's a small conflict related to the site BDI and the CE running on the same node. I opened a GIGAS ticket about this. It was reported by one of our sites, and the GIGAS ticket number is 32473, and it goes into a Savannah bug, and it's taken care of, I think.
32473, was that?
Yeah,
yes, exactly.
That's what
yes.
I wrote down anyway.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Sven. We'll put that onto the list.
It's true, that's clearly just a bug. I mean, that we have to fix.
Okay, anybody else know of any conflicts between services? Okay, so would it be okay, Oliver, to give people a week to think about this, mull it over, and get back to
you? Yeah, I mean, this would just be then something we fold into the YAME program of work.
Okay, so, but, okay, but as soon as that, so if if people can get can think about this within the next week or two, come up with any conflicts they know of, and we can get this into the as Oliver said, the YAIN program of work and get things fixed. Okay, so we'll put this in as an action for the rocks to get in touch with their sites, to make sure all the sites have been told about this so they can give feedback. Okay, any other questions on this one? No? Okay, well, Oliver stays in his seat, he has the next slot
it
as
was,
well.
Finally, it was just to say that we intend to remove YAIN for remove support in YAIN for LDAP-based VOs. Speaking to NA4, this is no problem, but again, shout now, in fact, shout now or never.
Okay, so do we have any VOs or any users on the line that know that this could be a problem?
Is there anybody here connected from the KIC developers?
I've contacted them myself.
Like Gilles, etc. Why I'm asking? Because they can search into the database and see if there is any registered VO.
This is no longer supported in the KIC portal.
Okay.
So you are supposed to only care about properly registered VOs, which in turn don't support any LDAP-based VO configuration. Therefore, YAIM should not maintain.
I think, okay,
this
if we...
This is why I'm saying we are going to remove it, but this is just to tell people...
Okay, so it's a heads up for everybody. It's, I think the decision's made. It will be removed. It's already not supported by operations, so I think we can just go ahead with this one. If anybody does have any problems with it, shout them as quickly as possible. Okay, thanks, Oliver.
Thank you.
And we move on. YAIM exit codes. So we have... Okay. We've got rather a packed room today, so we're having difficulty shuffling around trying to get close to the other phones. Bear with
me. Hello, I'm Gergő from the YAIM team. As I've sent around the mail some days ago to the rollout, the question is the same, just it should be done in a bit more organized form. But we are going to implement exit codes and error messages, exit messages into YAIM in order to help a bit the interaction between the various fabric management systems and YAIM and scripted mesh configurations. And we already have some idea how to do this. However, it would be useful for us to get some feedback from sites, from people who are really using Quattro-like tools, what they would like to see, how they would like to see. So this is something that should be circulated and feedbacks collected or ideas either here or to the YAIM contact email address. This is for the moment.
Okay, so do we, is there a timeline for this and when has it been feedback?
Like in 1 week, 2 week, it would be good, but
okay.
It's not urgent at all, however it would be useful.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so maybe we'll put an action on again on the rocks to distribute this request to their site so that the site can give feedback.
And any other idea which is in connection with fabric management system and YAIM, not only exit codes, but how this interaction could be improved.
Okay. Okay, so maybe what we can do is draft a brief email that we can give to the rocks and they can use to collect this information.
Yes.
Make sure we cover all the things.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so we'll do that. Does anybody have any feedback on this now? Okay, so what we'll do is put some words together, send it out to the rocks, and then the rocks, there'll be an action on the rocks to collect any information from their sites, to get in touch with the sites and collect information. Okay, thanks for that.
Thank you.
So, moving on, WLCG items. I didn't see anything from any of the rocks specifically, unless we've missed anything. Oh, actually, I guess. No, let's take a step back. We missed an item. So, EG issues coming from the rock report, we didn't cover yet. So, there were three I saw in the report this week. First one from Central Europe, that there's a GIGAS ticket from a site related to inconsistencies in DPM assigned to rock. CE. So files are in the DPM database, but not on the disk. Suggestion is, or their request, or their suggestion would be to remove files manually from the DPM database to clear the inconsistencies. But they're not sure if they should inform the VOs about these changes. What's the procedure in the case of files being lost? If you know what the files are, then I guess good manners would say that you tell the VO if you know which VO they're lost. But of course, I mean, there are situations where you know files are lost, but you don't know which files or.
They can also alternatively get assigned to VO support, parentheses, the name of the VO that they concern.
Okay, that's probably the best way, I guess, to do it through GIGA. So probably the best. Yeah, so that's probably the best way is to raise a GIGA ticket to make the VO concerned aware of the files that are missing. Any questions?
Nick, this is Marcin. Do we have any general procedure on or advices like that? So we should raise a GIGA ticket to make the VO aware of this problem. Is this somewhere documented or? I don't know.
I don't think it is, unless anybody knows of it. I can't
remember.
Well,
we have been trying, Martin, we have tried. You are in which rock, Central Europe?
Yes.
So you have a representative in the GIGAS and VOS coordination body, which is a monthly meeting called the ESC, who is a guy from Prague, from your
yes.
rock. Called the Jan
Kmuniczek, yes.
Exactly. Now the thing is that we have tried to expand the usage of GIGAS into not only reporting problems but also trigger actions. And this is something that we have publicized in various presentations. Now I don't know if we have enhanced the documentation for supporters by saying this, because this was an idea that was basically born after Christmas. It was discussed in two meetings, the January 13th and February 7th ESC meetings. But I agree with you if you think it is appropriate that we enhance the documentation, but it should be the GIGAS documentation, which says in which cases to raise the tickets and how to channel it through the support units. Basically, what we have tried to do already for the last few months was when there were actions that had to be collectively taken in the near future, to open GIGAS tickets, because then the supporters, by closing them, they commit they have completed their action.
So would that be okay? Well, maybe we could include an entry in the GOG wiki to refer to this procedure that will be written for GIGAS. Would that meet the requirements, do you think, Martin?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll take that as an action. Okay, next item was, again, from ROC Central Europe. There's a site experiencing problems similar to those that SNAL experienced, which resulted in Action 101. I don't know what that is, but we'll get to it later. So the site, Warsaw EGE, is interested if there's any progress on the issue. They have in place standing reservation for ops, beer jobs, which did not help to avoid problems with RM test timeout. So would it be okay to leave this one until we get to the action list?
Yes, we can cover it later. Okay.
Okay, thanks. The last issue I found was from Southeast Europe. While working on a registration in Serbian site, they encountered following problems in the GOG database that it doesn't recognize existing country representatives for newly created sites. Okay, but I guess this is... Do we have anybody from Southeast on the line?
You know, in Southeast, they have a lot of snow.
Really? So maybe they're all at home. But okay, there's a GIGAS ticket raised. So it looks like, and I read the ticket, it looks like it's being handled. I think this was for information. So they're requesting the the GOCDB team to respond to let them know if this can be fixed. Okay, so I think that was for information. So that was all of the items I could find from the reports. Do any of the rocks have anything else to include? No? Okay, so we will now move on to WLTG and service interventions. The only thing I could find, and I wasn't sure it may have already happened, was an intervention at RAL, an emergency intervention due to a potential fire hazard that had been identified. Did that intervention happen already, or is it scheduled soon?
Hi, Nick. No, it's not happened. It's probably not going to be this week. Apparently, they're still tweaking the procedure for how to do it. So we'll send out details when we know them.
All right, OK. So probably not this week?
No, probably not.
OK. OK, thanks. That was the only one I could find. Does anybody at any other site have interventions that they think they're carrying out this week? No? Okay. So it looks like it should be a clear week. Moving on, FTS service review. I didn't see anything, didn't see any reports. I don't think there's anything to report from here. I mean, this gets covered pretty much daily at the CCRC meeting, so I'm not sure there's anything we need to report here.
Okay, regarding the CCRC, there's one question I have for the all the VOs, which is, so I see that WHB is using SRM2, but ATWAS and CMS are not yet. And this was one of the targets for CCRC. Are you planning on using it during this week?
Actually, during this week, we are facing other kind of problems. So I would say that it's one of the issues here, but still for this week we are not sure we will be able to do it. Actually, we had a lot of problems, and you hope that Harry or me can do a brief update of the status during the last week. So also during the weekend, and also with the SRM version 1 of CERN. So.
I'm asking.
Not only that.
We are seeing some problems on SRM 1. But we are not learning anything from them because they are old problems and known problems, and so.
Yeah, but to solve all the other problems that we are facing in the other with the other endpoints as SRMD2, we cannot change everything. Otherwise, it will become a problem, multidimensional, with a lot of too many degree of freedom. And I would say that we have to change one by one.
ATLAS TRP response was planned to be carried through SRMD1.
So. Yeah. We could have done a test, but we were not planning to run with the SRMD2. That is a different. Doing a test is different. We would have hoping to be able to run with the SRMD1. Still, for this, for CCS, you know.
I feel the report.
Anything from CMS on that?
So let me just check. So it was just pointed out to me that we. Okay, so that we should have included in the agenda the CCRC 08 operational review.
Well, we'll do it.
Okay. So let's do it now. I forgot to put it in the agenda, but.
So the before moving to CCRC, there is a strictly operational issue.
Okay, so we could do the reports first, the experience reports.
So
I only saw a report from LHCB, so we can handle that first, and then if other people have reports, we can move on to. So there were, if I'm right, well, I'll tell you what, I'll let Roberto.
Yeah, so basically I opened two different GIGAS tickets for different problems, apparently similar with the cache at Critica and IN2P3. Preventing to access files that are disk resident. It means that there is really something weird happening at the cache implementation, both in Gridca and Leon. And then there is a third aspect that I would like to highlight in this meeting, as asked last week. We really need to enforce the procedure for site in scheduled downtime. We need to have something that imposes the site administrator to not publish the site in production first, and also drain the queue before unplugging the site, because we are suffering.
Okay.
We are suffering quite.
Okay, so this is the.
And the trigger of that is because we receive EGGI broadcast, or no, maybe a CIC notification a few hours before the downtime.
Okay.
But I have the impression that for the service intervention and for the, in general, the GOG-DB updates for scheduled downtimes, we had a very detailed procedures on how many days, how many hours, how many repetitions of the announcements we should have. This was documented. There was a tricky page that I had written in the framework of the LCGSCM, but there were also a lot of documents that were coming in package with a site registration procedure. It was already...
No, I agree. I know there is a procedure. For instance, the publication of the site to be... Maybe it might be that from time to time there is some problem with the broadcast tool that... for which we have notification a few hours before, but
this is exceptional.
So maybe if you see this, if any of the VOs see this, we'll try and keep track of it. But if anybody sees this happening, if they could let us know, we can start to chase up and try and report.
They are letting us know.
Do you have examples of the specific site? Well, you have seen this happening recently?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to blame anyone, but for instance, I sent you forward of an email from Philippe where there was a description of a scheduled downtime for a given site.
Yes,
I don't remember the site.
I knew there was that was the item I meant to put in the agenda.
Well, in the procedure of service interventions update, we should simply not accept interventions to be announced for less than the agreed buffer of time which is necessary.
Yeah, but not only. We need also to stop publishing the queue in production so that even accidentally jobs cannot be driven into the
batch system. This is another thing that needs
And also
to be,
draining the
right.
site. Yeah. So, you plan to do your downtime 2 days from now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's stop the queue now. So
exactly,
that
so
the
great.
Jobs are currently running finish smoothly, peacefully, and then...
So, yeah, I mean, this is something that we've identified that we need to, when a site goes into downtime, it needs to automatically disappear from the information system.
Yeah. The I can say for sure that CERN is following very rigidly the procedure. CERN is okay. CERN is... it's liked by Philippe, in this sense, which is good.
Okay, but you're right. I mean, this was something that was identified. It would be better to have sites that go into scheduled downtime to be automatically removed from the information.
Of course, I don't know how to address this problem. Just reporting that still the problem, and then maybe work to.
If you do see any more instances of this, let us know, and I'll go back to. I apologise that I forgot to include the details from Philippe's email. But if anybody sees it happening, let us know and we can follow and check it with time. I didn't see any other reports from other VOs, unless anybody has anything they
want to say. Hi, can I make a question for LexiV? So this is Gonzalo from PIC. I just wanted to ask, we are seeing today that the CPU load is increasing for LHCB. So I just wanted to ask, is this CCRC08 reconstruction and stripping load that is arriving today, starting to arrive today, or is some other load?
Yeah, but this is a question for CCRC.
Okay, I'm confused with so many meetings. Maybe I thought the CCRC thing on Mondays was already this meeting, or...?
Just joking, Gonzalo. No, the idea is that we started today. We are ramping up till the half of the rate we claimed at the last February face-to-face CCRC workshop. and then half of the nominal rate. This is the target for the first week, and then we will go at the fully nominal half of the nominal rate afterwards. The idea is to keep stable running during at least 24 hours, and then 24 hours we will transfer and also reconstruct data at all our tier one sites, including PIC. So
because I see these jobs are arriving with two credentials. One of them is being mapped to a kind of a production role credential, while the other one is mapped to a standard user credential. I don't know if this is
okay. This shouldn't be possible because we are now using BOMS roles, production roles, and then this should, I mean, the irrespectively the DN of the user, they should be mapped to the same production user locally, using the same bombs, FQAN. Okay, please, maybe offline, let me know who's mapped to what, because it means that evidently there is they are not using bombs, or something is not properly configured at your site, because we are presenting, as I said, a bombs role for a production bombs role for running this activity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, exactly.
Okay, let's sort it out
offline. Keep it offline. Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks. So, do we have the report? Actually, during the discussion we had with Miguel, we from Atlas, we would know which was the problem that the SRM person one discussed.
So there was a problem on Thursday on the SRM1 directory. There were some logs on some files, and this caused the both CMS and Atlas to stop because the full directory is shared by both experiments. On Friday there was a report, I think, about some timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
So we got the ticket this morning from Gigas, but the problem was fixed on Saturday. There was one disk server that was not serving files. So if you were asking for those files, you were getting a timeout. So it was fixed on Saturday, and although the Gigas ticket only arrived today. And I don't know what happened on Saturday with the exports. Nothing else was working, but on Caster it was fine.
So the point is that was SRM that was not working, and Caster was okay.
SRM was on Thursday.
Actually, what we noticed on Saturday, I was okay. Thursday and Friday, understood. I was asking also for Saturday, because we had...
On Saturday, I didn't see anything.
Nothing in the e-log.
Yeah.
Maybe we didn't put that
in the e-log. In the e-log, there was a report about the timeouts, which was this problem with one of the disk servers, and the files that were there could not be served. So, and this was fixed on Saturday. Now, I didn't see any report for any other problem, and neither I saw any other problem on the e-log.
I think the biggest problem probably is the FTS proxy issue. Has been hitting
Atlas
over the weekend.
But okay. I was asking to...
No, I don't know of any other problem. If there is a proxy issue, then...
We noticed that maybe we didn't probably update the log, but we noticed on Saturday evening, I think...
There was a hiccup around 11.
Morning?
No.
Evening. Okay.
Around 11 in the evening. And we had to do some operations, and it was running okay before midnight.
Okay. Maybe it was the same that we not had till...
And then on Sunday there was nothing...
No, Sunday we were okay. We had another problem, FTS delegation.
Okay.
Are you talking about this trigger stickers opened by Flavia for the ROC 7?
In this particular case,
no.
We've had many issues over the last week of Gigas tickets that are either not open or that are open but not timely forwarded and stuff like that. So
no,
they were supposed to be opened with an automatic mail feed somehow?
We're discussing something else at the moment.
Okay.
We've had some issues with Gigas follow up.
Okay.
So on Saturday, I don't understand why it was not working. On Saturday.
Actually, if you said that it was 11 in the evening, that was...
It was not working during 1 hour, but the rest of Saturday you said it was not working.
I was checking again, but we not had a bunch of errors distributed between Friday evening and Saturday afternoon. So, I mean, maybe the problem was solved by this server. It could also well be that files were on disk server and were picked up just not in random way.
So these will be timeouts. You will see timeouts for this effort, for this problem. So if you have timeouts on the FTS logs or on your clients, those will be most likely because of this. If you give me the list of files, I can tell you. I can check.
Okay. Okay. So, do we have anybody from CMS on the line? Or does CMS want to give a report? Okay. So I think that's covered all of the...
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so CCRCO8, operation review.
Yeah, Harry.
Okay. So what that leaves in the e-log then is a couple of LHC beep problems Sunday, no write pools configured at IM2P3. Is that solved yet?
It's not understood. We are looking with Andrew and the Lion.
Okay.
This problem looks like a couple of files transferred to Lyon, Dikash, Pong. The reason of the failure is given in the output with error, no write pools configured for system.
But it's just two files?
Just two files. The problem doesn't happen with file register replicated before and after that.
Okay.
So we know there was a problem on Saturday morning, early morning, last Saturday, 2 days ago. And maybe at that time those files have been tried to be transferred and failed. And so fancy status of the underlying database, I don't know. Just
and then the other ticket you reported, LFC registration failures at CERN, but that was transient from what I understand.
Went away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's say went away.
And the other thing in the e-log will
not automatically.
Right. The other thing was a report from Michel Jouvin on this old dcache file exist problem. But that's a long thread now. I'm going to follow that up. See where we are with that. Okay, that's what. Any particular experiment reports for CCRC? The one thing I can say is, in the CMS planning this week, or in week three, CMS planning, this is what they call the golden week for superimposition with Atlas. Now, I know Atlas, a lot of them are away in Moscow today having a regional meeting, but what I got from course was they were sort of coasting over the weekend at 30% of their nominal rate, but they are going to try and go to the full rate starting ASAP from Moscow even. So hopefully Atlas will now crank up the rate. CMS also, it's a pity that LHCB is only half there.
Yeah, but from grid view I see, because
you have a burst.
Because of a problem with the proxy of internal LHCB, my proxy retrieval mechanism, we had a huge backlog of files to be transferred to the tier 1. So maybe we expect for at least for today.
Okay, that'll be good.
Fairly high bandwidth to the site.
So Alice, we reported on Friday that they were still making an optimization of the system. It's not only affecting FTD, it's affecting everything. So actually we are not even in production, full production. I have been talking with the people today and they told me that the issue with Lyon was that the disk in the storage element was completely over. So we were expecting for more space on disk in Lyon. After that, the transfers can go on. But still we are only with the cache side. So this afternoon they wanted to ramp up again with FTS transfers to Karlsruhe and NDGF. If they are not transferring anything, I will report back tomorrow at 3 what is happening. Follow it up today.
If we don't get a good overlap this week, then I think I'd like the experiments to carry on and keep trying by next week. We really must exercise concurrent tape writing at all the tier ones at as close to the nominal rate as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also scheduled a bit later some special reconstruction
tests, because we also don't know how to tune the worker nodes to run multiple experiments yet. Okay. Anything else from experiments? Core services, Gavin, anything?
Nothing more. I mean, the main issue seems to be this proxy issue.
Yeah.
The FTX. We're working with the FTX developers to find the
worker. Yeah, so there's corrupted proxies.
This is a corrupted proxy, yes.
Yeah.
The problem is when we delegate the proxy to the service, it stays there until it expires, whether it's good or not.
Yeah.
So we're looking for trying to create an automatic workaround that will detect if the proxy is bad.
Okay.
And allow it to be.
But the corruption is a middleware bug.
It's a middleware bug. We don't understand how the corruption happens. Sometimes it works okay, and sometimes it doesn't.
But it's in Savannah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Ego's tickets. So we're looking at it. We need the workaround first.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. Okay. We're working to get that first.
Database services, Dirk?
No.
Okay. Anything on monitoring? Okay, release updates we've had from Oliver. So then questions, comments from sites or experiments? I hope you're all ready to do your tape writing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, AOB from CRC08. Okay.
Okay, thanks, Harry. Okay, so... moving on in the agenda, OSG items. Do we have anybody from the OSG GOG?
It doesn't matter because there is no pending ticket, I checked.
Okay. Okay, and I guess nothing they want to raise. So we'll move on. Review of action items. Page.
Can I only say something? We will discuss it more tomorrow with the ROC managers meeting. But I was wondering if we have people from UKI at this moment. There was a question raised at the GDAS ticket in November, on the 23rd of November, concerning some information on GOGDB. That was marked urgent, and I wonder if there are people from the UK now, from Rutherford, who are GOGDB experts, if I could give them the GIGAS ticket number, and if they could have a look, maybe this is forgotten because it is urgent and it is from November, and the immediate response at the time was that there are a number of things that are changing in the GOGDB, and it is really soon going to be solved. So in case anybody is on the line, the number is 29397, and this is a GIGAS ticket I'm talking about.
Do you have anybody from the GOGDB on the line?
I don't think you do, but I can take the number and follow it up.
Yes,
so what
please.
Is it again?
29397.
Okay, thanks, Jeremy.
Could you just repeat the number again?
29397.
Okay, thanks. So the problem, I think, is that the GOGDB developer left, as you know, so that's probably why there's nobody on the call. But I'll find out. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thanks, Jeremy. And the guy that came after me, I can't remember.
So left.
Who?
Andy
Newton.
The one
you can't remember?
Andy Newton. Also left. Okay, so let's go down the list of actions. Action ID 101. What to do about Fermilab and Sam Timer. So this is... getting back to the item that was raised by Southeast. Update at the end of January. So Piotr confirmed site-specific timeouts are not an option. Also, modifying timeouts just for the DPM test would take a while and would require agreement from all the VOs and the ROCs, and so would be inherently difficult. It can be argued that the SRM tests are If the SRM tests are timing out after 10 minutes, the SRM is probably not of much use anyway to the users. Therefore, tweaking the SRM to match the problem is maybe not a good solution. So the suggestion was that the site, so Fermilab, investigate a local workaround. Do I have anybody from Fermilab on the line?
Oh, yes.
Is there any update to this item? I know that I think was it Ian Fisk? a week or 2 weeks ago said that there were discussions ongoing at Fermilab. Is there any update?
Yeah, so practically we got to the point where did some debugging on the SRM, and there is practically with the current hardware and software there is not much to do, so we decided to improve a bit the hardware and also to optimize our code for maintenance. So we hope to solve the problem locally because it took too much time to just ask for an increased timeout. That's our belief. That's my belief.
Okay.
I mean, 10 minutes is too short a time. If we have 500 users that just transfer files to the SRM, there is no way that we can get a request in 10 minutes. I mean, we have to have our SRM always transferring 10 files, 20 files. That's impossible, but with a better hardware, we believe we can solve the problem.
Okay. Okay, so you're looking at a local solution, if I'm right, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I suppose okay. My answer also addresses the question from the Polish side, right, which was on the agenda?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, this is Martin from Central Europe. I'm responsible for this for solving this problem at this Polish site. And what we did, we put prioritization of OPS VO jobs in place. We did a standing reservation, but this didn't avoid problems. We still had problems with this timeout, and for a longer time solution, we decided to put another machine as a disk server to lighten the load on the main one.
Okay. So practically, you tried to address the problem in the same way by improving the hardware, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So it sounds like a common solution was found. Maybe by different routes, but okay. Okay, thanks.
Sure.
So I guess. Sorry, was there more? No. Okay, so I guess we can close this issue. We'll update the response and then close the item. Okay, so moving on, next item 102, how to handle BDI GOCDB mismatches and the issue of introducing new sites. So this was discussed at the ROC managers meeting. I've just been searching through the minutes to try and remember exactly what the decision was. I'll add a link to the minutes so that people can go, and also to the action item, so that people can go and see what the final decision on this was. I think it was. I don't think there was a final decision. As far as I remember, it was going to be a request for enhancements to certain tools. But anyway, I'll dig it out and we can put it into the action item. Okay. Next item 103. Ensure instructions for publishing storage space reaches the site, and this is from Atlas. So lots of updates. The last one was the 13th, so 5 days ago or so. Lots of tickets were submitted to the different ROCs. So I assume these, maybe we can close this item. I assume the tickets are now being followed up.
Yeah.
They'll be in the system, so maybe we'll close the item. That'd be okay, close this one and just follow the tickets.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we'll do that. We'll do it that way. Where are we? Next one, item 136. Request to Atlas sites to upgrade worker nodes to SL4. So a broadcast was sent on the 15th of Feb, again, just a few days ago. I don't know, how do you want to handle this, Atlas? Do we keep it open for a while?
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is crucial for Atlas.
Okay.
If we put a deadline on 15th of March.
Yeah. What I suggest is we keep it open for and beginning of March, when there are still 2 weeks. We check to see which sites are left, and we discuss it here, and maybe start asking the ROCs to open tickets.
Perfect.
So we can leave it open.
Okay.
We must keep on following this item, otherwise the 15th of March, all the sites that we will not be upgraded will not be able to run Atlas production.
Okay. Okay, and as to remind again, I think I've said this several times before, but the SL4 version of the worker node is no longer supported. So if you're running it, you will get no support for it.
SL3,
correct. Correct, well spotted. SL3 is no longer supported. SL4, of course, is. So move to SL4 anyway, it's in your own interests. Okay, next item, 137, request to Atlas Sites to increase the shared software installation area to 100 gigs. Again, broadcast was sent a few days ago. I guess we do a similar thing with the previous ticket.
Yeah.
So we'll monitor. So this one has completion date of the end of March, so maybe...
Lower priority, but...
Okay, but we'll follow it up. We'll keep it open and follow it through. Okay, that's the end of the list. Any items that people think we've missed or should be on there? No? Okay. Any other business? No? Okay. Excellent. That's the end of the meeting. So next meeting is next week at the same time. See you then. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.